Thank you, brother. One thing I love about grace, you'll never know what's going to happen next. I've always loved that about this church, that they're not programmatic and not got a bulletin that go by everything. Sometimes, in years gone by, I remember how you used to sing verses of the song over again. I like that. Have y'all took something again tonight? Oh, me. I appreciate with all my heart. I want to say this, and then I'll get into the message. I preach every day of my life and every week of my life. I'm in a different church. And I don't know that much. Just experience teaches you some things. You folks have got a good church. I mean a good church. And you ought to safeguard it. You ought to covenant in your heart to pray for each other. And more than anything in the world, this is what helps me. In 1 Corinthians 4, he says, "Moreover, it's required in the steward that he be found faithful." I can do that. I can do that. I wish y'all would get that. It didn't say rich. It didn't say famous. It didn't say good looking like Noble, you know, or ugly like Noble. Oh, watch him drop his head. I got him in. I don't even know why, but I got him in. I love you folks. I appreciate being around you. And I enjoy coming and preaching to the... I have excellent liberty preaching to these high school students. I love that. I mean, I just like it. That's just me. And tonight, I want you to do this, if you would. Open your Bible and turn with me to the book of Leviticus, please. The book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 19. Find your place. I think Elizabeth Taylor told after her 9th or 10th husband, "I won't keep you long," all right? The book of Leviticus, my wife says, "Oh me," when he says that. Leviticus, please, in chapter 19. Yes, she lied. Leviticus chapter 19. We'll start reading, if you don't mind, just in a moment, in verses 1. Now, I want you to please take notes on me tonight. Now, when you find your book, find the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 19, in verses 1, a lot of you know that after the death of Nathan, when my boy got killed, most of you know that I've always been blessed of the Lord to just stay busy in local churches. And that's my heartthrob. The Lord has just seen fit to keep me busy in local churches. I wish y'all would perk up a little. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore to yourselves to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So what I try my best, if he purchased the church with his own blood, then you ought to identify with it, get involved in it, invest your time, everything, in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Not the church of your choice. Oh, that blows them out of the saddle. That was coined back in the late 60s. And a man by the name of Billy Graham, "Go to the church of your choice." If that be all right, then you can go to the church of Satan. You ought to go to the church the Spirit of God places you in. And stay there. And when they're having trouble, that's more reason to stay. That's not reason to bail out. I'm not saying there's any trouble. Will y'all look at me? Why y'all looking at me like that for? Brother Tom, did you take your hearing aid out? You know, he does that every night. Just takes his hearing aid out, lays it aside. Just picking Tom. But my point is watch this. My whole life, I've spent it in a local church. I love the church. I love the church. And with the help and grace of God, now my wife says I got the determination of a pit bulldog. And I believe you ought to get determined about some things. But when my boy Nathan got killed, Nathan used to go with me a lot in meetings. He would go with me to the Indians, and sometimes I'm with him twice a year. Boy, did they ever love that boy. And when after the death of Nathan, of course my wife, until Nathan graduated from school, she stayed home with Nathan. And I appreciate that. I wish my wife was here, and I'd tell her that I appreciate that. And Nathan being our baby boy. But after the death of Nathan, it put us in a tailspin. I don't know how to explain it to you. And it's been almost 4 years, but Mary, I couldn't leave her at home. I could not leave my wife at home. And everybody said, "Well, you ought to take time off." I knew in my heart that if I did get lazy and lax and call it whatever, knowing my personality, knowing me, that if I had did that, I wanted to safeguard and not do that. Well, I'm not a lazy person. I've always been a very active person. Immediately after the death of Nathan, there was a church that called us, And when I say called us, I used to go to Mexico and go down there and work every day and preach every night. In fact, I took Miss Amy. Amy went with us, and Nathan was alive, and we went to Mexico and helped the camp. But I told you a little bit, and I'll share this with you in a moment. There was this church needed a building the worst in the world, an independent Baptist church outside of Pioneer, Tennessee. And I've helped meetings for them, Brother Noble, and it would rain like it's raining outside, and you'd have to move because the rain would be raining in the roof. It's bad. And to show you how the Lord works behind the scene, I've been with these people for years, over the years. My boy, David, that's a preacher, pastor's there in Somerset, he had held a meeting for this church that I'm fixed to tell you about. The state had took their, was going to widen the road and going to take their property. They had a 42 feet wide by 88 feet long building. 42 by 88. Full basement. I mean a nice building. I mean, you ought to see that building they've got. I've got pictures, but not with me. So, knowing one night, I come home from a meeting, and David said, "Daddy, do you know anybody that needs a building?" And I said, "Well, no, not off the top of my head, son." And two or three days went by, and I was laying in the bed, and the Spirit of God just woke me up. Said, "Get that building for Liberty Baptist Church in Pioneer, Tennessee." So I called the state man and tried to find out if I could get the building. He said, "We're sorry." He said, "The building's done gone." He said, "It's done into what they call salvage." And he said, "There's nothing we can do about it." And I said, "Okay." Meanwhile, the men from the church that were down in Liberty came up to where I was at, and we went up there to see the property. They gave us a key. We opened the door. Beautiful building. I mean, full. I mean, you ought to have seen the pews. Padded pews. 14-channel PV system. Cordless microphone. Piano. Organ. Everything. And so anyway, these men, we all claimed it for the Lord. We just claimed it for the Lord, even though the state said we couldn't have it. I got back home, and the preacher called me, the pastor. He said, "Brother Sisson," he said, "I'm sorry that I couldn't get to be at the men's at the meeting to meet those men, but," he said, "I can get the building for you." I said, "Get it for us." And he called me back in just a matter of hours, and he said, "The building's yours." He said, "All I need is a $2,500 check." And he said, "I got to have $10,000 bond money." Well, I didn't have no $10,000. And I didn't have no $2,500 either. And the church where I, they didn't have it either. They didn't have no money. There's a man in our church, God is my witness. It somehow just started spreading like wildfire. Boy, my preacher, God bless his heart, boy, he loves missions. My preacher said, "We'll give you the $10,000. See, I can't hardly talk about getting cold chills. He said, "Now I didn't get the 10 grand, Noble. Don't think about that. All I did was put the money up to the state for a bond. As soon as we got the building moved, I got the 10 grand back. Everybody understand that? But I had to move the building in 90 days. One man in my church said, "How about me giving you $2,500? He gave me the $2,500, and a few days went by, and he came down to the house, and he said, "Was that 25 or 25,000? I started to say 25. No, just be. I said $2,500. He gave me a check. I gave it to them. We got the building for $2,500. Now then, I've got to take the building down and move it in 90 days. Look up here. Can you believe we took it down in 3 and put it up in 5? Took it down in 3 and put it up in 5. Our kids at Celine, and I'll show you what I want you to see in just a moment. All those young people got involved in helping me. We went up there, when I say me, I'm not using that personal adjective, but we was trying to get this building down to move it for that church. We had to take all the sheetrock off, and I had them to build exactly the same size of basement. We took it down in sections and put it on great big 18-wheelers and trucked it down there 77 miles down the road. They said, "How did you do that?" I numbered everything, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then when I got down there, I just reversed the order, put it right back up. Boy, have they got a nice building. And they've got less than $150,000 in it. I could go on and on and on and tell you about this. One man said, he said, "Where are y'all going to set this building?" They had no property. They didn't have no money, hardly ever. Can you believe one man from Knoxville, Tennessee, gave them the land? Gave them 5 acres of land, probably worth at least $100,000. If you ever get to Pioneer, Tennessee, go to Liberty Baptist Church and look up on a hill, and you'll see that church up there. Now, that's a blessing. Secondly, the Indians. They needed a building the worst in the world. So now all these men that I'm fixing to tell you about, my preacher, Brother Broughton, he always goes with us, bless his heart, and them old crooked fingers beat all to pieces. And we have doctors that goes with us. And we've got all kinds of people that goes with us. And all I've got to do is call them and tell them we've got to work in somewhere, and they'll say, when, where, how, and what time. And so we schedule it, and here we go, 19 or 20 of us, and take off down there to help these people. The Indians, it's a whole lot of correlating, but we had to get them to get all of the materials. It has to be on the job site when we come in on a Monday. We started on a Monday. Look up here. We started on a Monday, 50 feet wide and 120 feet long, and by Friday at noon, when I cut the men loose, we had every partition up, had all the trusses on, had all the sheetrock, had all the plywood on, had all the tar paper on by Friday at noon. Boy, them hammers were smoking. We moved that building, built that one for them Indians. Third thing, let me tell you what we done. We went to the Glenwood Baptist lot. The preacher knows Brother Terry Parnell. Need the building the worst at all in that flood stage. We went up there and he had the concrete poured. We come in on a Monday and we built the whole building by Thursday. I love doing that. And listen, and then we went down to Rockingham, North Carolina. An independent church there needed a building the worst in the world. And it was 50 by 180, two-story building. Started on a Monday, pouring down the rain, us working underneath this canopy. And can you believe by Friday, 50 by 180, had all the trusses on, had all the walls up, had all the second floor, and had it subfloored by Friday. Ain't that a blessing? Y'all wouldn't say amen for nothing. And this. Then we went back down to Landmark Baptist down in High Point, North Carolina. Their little building was only 28 feet wide. And so we determined that we could widen it 15 foot on each side. And we take down the building and just take down the outer walls and just put new 2x6 walls, put new trusses up. And this building measures 66 by 60 on the inside. Noah says, I'm kidding him. I says, Barb will be happy. That's his wife. Just kidding. The building inside measures 66 by 60. We started on a Monday, took it all down with a big crane, subfloored it, put it back up, put all the walls back up, set the trusses, had 48 sheets of plywood on by Friday at noon. 66. Boy, you talk about a nice building. Have they ever got a nice building? I love doing that. And these men that help us love doing it too. And we got another working. It's down in, we're going to do this for this, it's a girls' home, and they need a dormitory, the worst in the world. It's in Roaring River, North Carolina. He's got about 20-some young girls not all of them troubled teenagers, but they have done miraculous wonders for these young girls, and they need a dormitory. So anyway, we're going to go in, and they're getting it all together and getting all the permits together, and all of us men, and all I do is call them, and I tell them, we've got this working plan. If it's where you can go with us. And here they come. And we'll go down there and work. And I don't believe your body can handle that. Not at the feverish that we work. I don't believe your body can handle that 24/7. But it's such a blessing to see the thing come together. Does anybody understand what I mean by that? To see it just come together and see people work together like that. No fussing, no fighting, nobody trying to outdo each other, nobody bigger than anybody else. Say amen. You ought not be that junk anyway. Boy, what a blessing it is to see that. Now, keep that in your mind. Turn to Leviticus 19. My wife and I was talking about it. When we look back over at it, see, anybody here outside ever lost a child? Anybody lost a child? Sister, a lot of people don't understand, do they? We can try to explain it. But unless you've been there, you don't. There's no way. You always think your children will outlive you. You don't never expect to get a phone call one night that your children's been killed. But I look back over at it, and what I just shared with you was God giving that to me to keep my mind from going crazy. When I look back over at it, and my wife went with me, ever working, she went with me, and she cooked. And believe me, she ate too, amen. Hey, them Indians, they don't care if I come or not as long as she comes. Man, they fix her collard greens. Oh, do I love collard greens. Hallelujah. Especially the way them Indians fix it. Oh, don't shake your head. Ain't that pitiful. She's forgot her raisin. But I'm saying collard greens. Them Indians can fix it. And so they want my wife to cook. And they like us Kentuckians and how we season food, Miss Kathy. And I look back over at it, and it's nothing but God working behind the scene to keep us from losing our minds. Now, this is what I want you to see. Look in Leviticus 19, please. Look in verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man, his mother, his father, and keep my commandments, my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn you not unto idols, nor more to make unto your molten gods. I am the Lord your God. If you offer a sacrifice, a peace offerings unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day. You offer it on the tomorrow, and it ought remain unto the third day. It shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it's an abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it, it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallow thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now look in verse 9. And when you reap the harvest of your land, look what your Bible says. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thine harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19. Notice in verse 9, please, that God himself, not Brother Lawrence Richardson, not Melvin Sisson, no, look what it says. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. For a little while tonight, let me preach on this subject, on just leaving the corners. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? Look in your Bible. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. What do you mean, preacher? I understand the law was meant to protect the poor people. I understand that. But when you read your Bible in Deuteronomy 15 and verses 11, there the Bible says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. And you're looking at me right now saying, well, that thing about the poor. Now look up here. Look at me. Look at me. I know what's going through a lot of people's minds. We're far more richer than our moms and dads was. In fact, I tell them, and this is the God's honest truth, and this is not meant to be humorous. Some of the way I was raised, we spelt poor, by, dear God, with about six O's, amen. We didn't even know we was poor. Look at y'all's faces. And I go back in my mind, and what it says now, look, I know, I'm fully aware of what it meant. It was meant to protect the poor of the land. I understand that. But now watch it. Some corners of the field are not mine. Today I asked the young people, they asked them how many of them were saved. They raised their hand. Could I tell you something? If we, those of us that are saved, you need a purpose in life more than things. You need a purpose in life more than just whatever in the name of heaven everybody else is working for. What do you mean, preacher? God saved you off of a slave block. There's a day in your life, lost, going to hell. Spirit of God came to where you was at. He bought you off of a slave block. Read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What know you not that you were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, for you're not your own. So therefore, if I believe that, and I do, he bought us off of a slave block. All week long, it's just been hammering in my mind. Look back in your mind. There's some corners of the field are not mine. God says we're to share. I don't believe it ought to be a drudgery to come to the house of God. I believe it ought to be a blessing to come to the house of God. It ought to be a thrill to come to the house of God. When I look at Brother David Yandel and I see him playing that piano, when I seen Miss Debbie, when I seen Deborah, I seen all Miss Vicky, when I look at Brother Bradley and I see his wife and I seen her over here working in the kitchen, I seen her working in the gym, I seen all people picking up, doing whatever, do you realize what we're doing? We're all just leaving a corner. I get cold chills just thinking about it. We're all just leaving a corner. He says, look in your Bible. He says, you're to leave the corner. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. I can't live right. I can't think right. I can't even pray right if I miss that truth. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? I'll show you just a moment. You'll be turning 1 Corinthians 16. I'll prove it to you. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? I'm saying, by over the years that I've known this man, over the years that I've known Jay and Miss Betty, the years that they used to sit up there. Now watch me. Some of y'all, did you know by his just being faithful to God, he's leaving a corner? He's leaving a corner. What do you mean, preacher? Miss Debbie, by you playing the piano and the organ, whatever else, I don't care what you do in the service of God, you can't do it and God not know about it. If you pick up or you vacuum the floor, whatever you do, I'm saying God knows what you do. And He also knows the motive is why you what you do. I come in here and I sit down and I seen all these flags. I seen all y'all's missionaries, y'all's support. Do you know what you're doing? You're leaving a corner. He says, do what? You're to leave the corner. That's in verses 9. He says, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. So I'm talking about leaving the corners. For the poor shall never see the side of the land. Some corners of the field are not mine. Right. God says, we're to share. God asked for 6 days. He says, thou shalt labor. Now then, we're wanting shorter and shorter work weeks. Oh, that went over real big. Am I not telling you the truth? We're wanting less and less and less. I don't understand this. God give us 6 days. Am I right? And we can't even give Him one. Brother Sisson, I'm saying, I don't know whatever happened to the mentality of people, but I know this. Sunday's the Lord's day. Hey, man, Sunday's the Lord's day. But my point is, watch it. He gives us six and we can't even give Him one. Is that not tragic? What do you mean by that, brother? Now watch it. We're not meant to reap all that we've sown. Read Numbers 32, 23. Be sure your sin finds you out. How about Galatians 6, verse 7? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Watch this. If you sow unfaithfulness, mark her down. There'll come a time that I'm telling you, if you sow it, you'll reap it. If there comes a time that you sow laziness in your life, you'll reap it. And by the way, a whole lot of our reaping will be through our children. Go with me right fashion. Keep your finger in Leviticus and turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 16, I believe it is. Nah, yeah, right. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 16. Look at your Bible. What do you mean, preacher? I began to put it in my mind. I thought, oh, the unreaped corner will be reaped by and by. We're leaving a legacy behind. And my point, anybody, how many of you in this building would be honest? Anybody ever been good to you? I love Brother Bradley. I told Brother Ard coming down, if we're around him long enough, we're going to get him out of that corner, out of that little thing he's in. Hey, either he'll rub off on us or we're going to rub off on him. And I believe it's going to be us rub off on him. Wouldn't you like to see him have a spell? Oh, I would. My point is watch this. How many of you, sometime or another, someone's been kind to you or thoughtful to you or good to you? Would you raise your hand? I'll guarantee you've never forgotten it. I guarantee you've never forgotten it. Boy, I go back in my mind and I think about the people that's been good to me. I mean, I go back in my mind and I shout and say, thank God, hallelujah, thank God. Hey, God's been good to us, amen. My point is watch this, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, you can't outgive God. When you understand and you realize that you're a slave and God bought you off of a slave block and you're a purchased possession, you need a purpose in life more than things. More land, more cattle. There's Ronnie. I admire Brother Ronnie. I admire him. The reason why I bring him up is this. Do you understand tonight? I don't have to have my name in the sword of the Lord. I don't have to wear Armani clothes, and I don't have to wear expensive clothes, and I'm already somebody. My name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm already somebody. That don't lift me with pride. It humbles me that God would care for something like me. Amen. But I'm saying tonight, I don't need all that stuff, but people, they are working. They're working for what they call notoriety or things and whatever. You need a purpose in life more than things. Would y'all say amen to that? More than things. You ought to say, by the help and grace of God, I can leave a corner. Just a corner. God says, don't you take the corner out. Leave the corner. Leave the corner. We all can purpose in our heart to leave the corners. Amen. I nicknamed Sister Sharon. I nicknamed her General. I told her today, and I watch her with these little kids, and son, she's good with these kids. But I got enough sense to know that the devil would come and whisper in your ear and say, you mean that is all you do is take care of little snotty-nosed boys and little girls and their first graders in kindergartens? But have y'all ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about it? Where did they first start hearing about the Son of God? Say amen to me. But I got enough sense to know this. Boy, you try to live for God and try to leave a corner for God, the devil will whisper in your ear, hey, you ain't getting no notoriety where you're at, and you're not, hey, but wait, hey, it's not all over yet, thank God. You wait till one day God says, come up here, thank God, hallelujah, then he'll reward us for leaving the corners. I love it. Look in 1 Corinthians now, chapter 16, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Look in your Bible. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him. As God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Should you give? Yes. The reason to give is in verse 1. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Look in verse 2. There comes the regularity of giving in verse 2. Look in your Bible. He said, and I believe worship is giving. And personally, I don't believe we leave God a corner by our worship services. I'm sorry if that's offensive to you. Most people don't even know what worship is. Worship is giving back to God. The word worship means adoration. Do you adore God? Do you really? Then how come it is that you let people rob you of worshiping God? I don't know about you. I have no idea what's going through your mind. But I know this. You need a purpose in life. You need to quit caring what people think about you and care what more He thinks about you than what people think about you. Look, if you would, in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, I promised God years ago. You're looking at one man tonight, boy, God has been good to me. I was thinking about it tonight, day in my room. I was just contemplating how good God's been to me. I'm on 5 radio stations, Monday through Friday. Do you think that somehow or another that money just comes in to pay my radio broadcast? I've been on there 22 years. I've never got behind, son. I've never got behind on my radio broadcast. Never have. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to get on the radio and beg and plead and beg and plead and look at it, play 19 songs and preach for 2 minutes. And then the other minute say, I'm sorry, I don't have time to preach. Ain't that pitiful? I'm not going to do that. Man, I get on there and smoke the airways. Hey, I mean, dear God, sometimes, let me show you what I mean. I'm talking about leaving a corner. I'm talking about leaving a corner. Sometimes it gets hard, Brother Larry, to keep up all the corners. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So if you'd be honest, sometimes your life, it's hard to keep up all the corners. Amen. When I went on the radio years ago, I fought it. I didn't want it. I rebelled against it. I was having it hard financially. I rebelled against it. I did not want to do it. I argue with God, fuss with God. I've been on there 22 years. I promise God, Lord, I'll never get on there. I'll never beg. I will not do that, nor will I ever do it, nor shall by the help and grace of God will I ever do it. Amen. Let me show you why I'm on the radio. I get untold. I have got files and files of nothing but letters of our radio broadcast. Hey, Brother Tom, this is hard to conceive in people's minds. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by what? Word of God. This man I'm fixing to tell you about, he found out his wife was fooding around with another man in Pulaski County. I got a 5-page handwritten letter that he wrote me. He went and bought a fillet knife. Y'all know what a fillet knife is, don't you? Where's that fisherman at? A fillet knife is razor sharp. I believe this man. He got him a fillet knife and he got him a .357 Magnum and loaded it out. And can you believe he was going down the road and seen this man that was having a fling with his wife? He pulled him over, knife in his pocket and gun in his hand, and went back to the car and had every intention of killing him. And guess what was on the radio? Not me now. But guess what was on the radio? WTHL 90.5. Somerset, Kentucky. He said, when I walked back to the car, he said it was like God, the Holy Ghost, arrested me. Here's what he said, you're not worth killing. Went back to his car. You'll get that in a minute. Do you think that these radio, these people like that take care of the radio stations, don't you think like sometimes they just like to throw their hands up and quit? I'm saying what we're doing is leaving a corner. Say amen. We're leaving a corner. Just like with that man. God, the Holy Ghost, arresting his heart. I believe he would have killed him. I really believe that. You'd have to read the letter. My point is watch this. All these years, and sometimes it gets difficult. But by if you honor God, God will honor you. Now, will y'all say amen to that? If you honor God, God will honor you. Let me show you this. Go back. Look in your Bible. Watch it. In the verse 2 says, and let every man, let every one of you lay by him store as God has prospered him. God is my witness. Look up here. I can be honest with God. Would y'all perk up a little? I can be honest with God with my time and with my tithe and with my talent. God knows what I can do and what I can't do. But I can be honest with God. Boy, I purpose in my heart, brother, I'm going to do that come whatever. I am going to do that. I don't want to stand before God. I don't want to stand before God and knowing that what God commanded me to do, that I didn't do it. Does anybody understand that? Look in verse 2. He says, let him lay by in store as God has prospered. God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Now watch this. Would you keep your finger there just for a moment? Turn with me right fast back if you don't mind. Just hurry right quick and go to the book of Ephesians with me, please. Let me show you chapter 4 just for a moment. Now we're talking about leaving a corner. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? The reason to give is found in chapter 16, verse 1. And the regularity of giving says, and watch it. He says, let every man ask by store, as God has prospered him, let him give. All right, watch it. And the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, you're to bring your tithes and your offerings to the house of God. You're not to give them to some radio preacher. Did I say that? You want me to put it on rewind? I scream it. Hey, I never seen so many people trying to bypass the local church in my life. Look up here. Everybody look up here. I'm not trying to be ugly. Do I tithe? If God gives me $500, mark her down. I'm going to give God a tithe and an offering. You say you're just pumping your own tires. No, I'm not. I know, thank God. Hey, I understand, brother. If I honor God, God will honor me. Amen. And he's done it for all these many years. Hey, I'm about to have my spell now. Look, if you don't mind, in Ephesians, please, in chapter 4. Look at verse 27, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. Neither give place to the devil, Paul says. Look at verse 28. He says, let him stole that stole steal no more, but rather let him, say it back to me. Hello. Say it, Dr. Yandel. What? You ain't reading the rest of it. Whoa. Hello. That's what it says, am I right, Brother David? Let him labor, and it says, working with his hands. You know, don't for God's sake, don't ask nobody to vacuum the floor. That's no. Some of these sorry preachers, you wouldn't dare ask them to go to the nursing home. Don't dare ask them to go to the jail. Let me tell you what, I got some mad Noble Crowley. Now, I can get mad, son. I'm sorry, I can. My wife says when I get mad, my ears turn red. Now, they're not red. Let me show you what I mean by getting angry. We was down there, Tom Freeman, working. I'm talking about in that hot sun. We was down there in North Carolina, sun. It was over 90 plus degrees. We was working, trying to get a building up, trying to get it under roof before it rained. Here come these golfers. I'm sorry, Doc, if it's offensive to you. Here they come, these preachers. Don't you listen to this? Here come these sorry bunch of preachers, and they come around over there walking around, looking and gawking and looking around and like this, and looking around everything. And I mean, just looking around and gawking. I said, hey, why don't y'all pick up some boards and hand them up here? I mean, look up here. Don't y'all die on me for a minute. Those men that were fixing to go golfing was this preacher's friend. He had been working 14, 15 hours a day. Now, y'all can believe whatever you want to. If they'd have really been friends, they'd have helped him. Amen. Wouldn't hurt him. Say, oh. Wouldn't have heard him stayed off a golf course. Say amen. Didn't even offer to, and by the way, and come back over there again, Brother Bradley, and done it again. Shoot, my ears turned red that day, boy. So now I come off that ladder, they're giving me a hard time. I said, now boys, hey, listen. I said, a friend loveth at all times. I said, if you men really love this man like you say you do, y'all start helping him, amen. Well, we got to go. I knew this going then. Amen. If I see Noble Crowley, if I see Brother Don, hey, look here, and I say we're brothers in Christ, am I right? I'm saying if he's having a difficult time, if I really love him and I really care about him, I'll help him. You better say amen to me. I'm going to come back next week. Look at Ephesians. Look, I heard somebody say, no, dear God. Look at Ephesians 4. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good. Now watch this. That he may give to him that needeth. Amen. Did y'all get that? These men that give of their time to go help these churches, they're not doing that for me. They're not even doing it for the church they're helping. They're giving back because God's been so good to them. Amen. You get that in a minute. They're giving back to God because He's been so good to them. We're leaving a corner by the help and grace of God. Would y'all say amen? I'm saying in the same way you can do it here at Grace. Don't y'all want the Lord to be pleased with your life? Don't you want to hear the words, well done? So if we'll just be faithful over what God entrusts us with, we'll hear the words, well done. God knows our limitations. I tell these people that retire, I'm going to come down there, Jay. Look here. I tell these people, they've worked on a public job 35, 40 years, whatever, and they've got an income coming in. Am I right? Do you understand what I mean? They've got an income coming in. All right. These men that I'm talking about, they're able because they do have an income coming in to where they can go and give back. But now watch this. Most people, they can't wait. Oh, I can't wait till I retire. I'm going to go to Florida and play golf. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Go down there and get sunburnt and get cancer of your ears. Watch this. And I'm telling you the God's eye. They go to Florida and they retire. I'm talking about parentheses, saved people. Man, I got something more to do in my life than playing golf 3 or 4 days a week. You just said you wanted God to be pleased with your life. Then do something with it. What do you mean? You ladies, God bless your heart. I'm not picking on y'all. I appreciate the good meal, Kathy. God knows, sister, I appreciate that with all my heart. But let me ask you this. Do you know of anybody, you just said that when people are good to you that they never forget it. Why in the name of heaven can't we pick out somebody that can't go to a restaurant and go get them and take them and feed them? Man, I had me the best time. I do, boy. I had me the best time. This lady called me up in Cincinnati. She said, Brother Sisson. I said, what? She said, I have got a whole bunch of clothes that I wished you would give to somebody. And she says, they're brand new. I said, okay. She come to my house, and God is my witness, Tom Freeman, when I popped that trunk, I never seen so many new suits in my life. Brand new suits. I could wear none of them. I'd have worn them. I wish I could show y'all something. Okay, her blouse, it's yellow. Her lavender. I mean, son, these was the brother's suits. Orange. Orange. Yellow. Blue. I'm talking about, son, you ain't never seen such colors in your life. Boy, I thought, man, I wish I could wear that peach one. But I mean, I couldn't wear none of them. And it hit me like a ton of brick. Take them to the Indians. Man, I put them in my car. Man, I got down and look up here. Boy, and I told them Indian boys, I said, boys, I'm talking about Indian boys that's never even owned a suit. I called them out there in the car and I said, boys, I got something. Come here. I said, a lady told me to give these to you. Boy, I popped that trunk. Their eyes got real big. So now I gave them 2 suits apiece. They had a spell. Amen. Next morning they come to church. I mean, we had to put shades on, boy. It's so dark. They look good in them. Do y'all know what I mean by that? They look good in them with that dark tan. Man, they look good. Man, they scrubbed up, cleaned up. Boy, they put Aquavit on behind each ear. They had them suits on. I got a bigger blessing out of watching them Indian boys. I called the lady and told her. In fact, I took a picture of them and showed them to her. And I said, sister, I said, do you know what you've done by helping them? Did you know you're really fulfilling the scripture? To give to him that what? That needeth. You're to work with your hands to give to him that needeth. Can you believe this? Look up here. Everybody look up here. This woman is not a wealthy woman by no means. Her and her husband. Her husband passed away. She wrote to me and she says, preacher, this is above my tithes and offerings. She said, I want you to distribute it and give it to somebody that really needs it. She wrote me a check for $500. She didn't give me all them suits. Had a pretty good time giving them suits away. Now I've got a better time giving away $500. Had me the best time in the world buying groceries and helping people. It says, look in your Bible, working, look in your Bible, laboring, working with your what? Hands. And it says to give to him that needeth. Now right away you turn me off. You're saying, I ain't got nothing I can do. You real sure? Are you real sure? Now watch this. There's all kinds of things to do if we just do them. And by the way, if you get busy doing for God, you wouldn't be so depressed. Man, I tell them all the time, I am too blessed to be depressed. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? Mr. Wales. He says that we're to work, we're to labor, working with our hands, to give to him that needeth. Now watch this, are y'all ready? If you vacuum the floor, you're doing it because you love God, you're leaving a corner. If you teach a class, Brother Bradley, you're leaving a corner. You're doing it for God. God knows your motive. Say amen. God knows your motive as to why you do what you do. This woman came, bless her heart, gave me $5. And she had the $5 bill rolled up real tight and gave me that $5. And I said, dear sister, I appreciate it with all my heart. But I said, she looked at me and she says, don't you rob me of a blessing. And I mean, you ought to heard the tone she put it in. It's like the general when she speaks. What'd you do, brother? Says, I put that $5 in my pocket before she beat me. Do you think she'll have a reward for that $5? Now go back now. You just go look in your Bible. Heard it. Come on, it's going to get good. Stay with me. Go back to the book of 1 Corinthians with me, right face, chapter 16. The reason to give is in verse 1. Our regularity of giving, calculating giving. Hey, we're to give this much, whatever. 10%, loving God, offerings, amen. Look in your Bible. But it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store, as God has prospered him, amen. Hey, thank God. Now say amen. Number 2, watch this. Comparison giving. In giving more than, I don't believe you ought to just do it to outgive people. You ought to do it because you just love God. Responders, watch this. Let every one of you, how many of y'all see that? Do y'all see that? Look in your Bible. Let every one of you, did y'all get that? Boy, I have me the best time in the world. You ought to try this one, buddy. Them little old Indian kids down there, I love them kids. Oh, do I love them. Man, they got a great big old thing about this big a glass jug. And she'll start playing that piano. And them little kids will go all over that auditorium in them pretty little old dresses and little old Indian kids, and they'll stand there until you give them something. I ain't going. I know where them cows is at. They'll get into the ministry quickly. We'll wrestle two or three. I'll give you one, Don. I'll give you one too, daughter. My point is watch this. Them little kids, they'll do that all over that whole auditorium, and they bring that money, and they put it in that big old jug, and would y'all like to know what they do with the money? What do y'all think they do with it? Would you like to know? They go to nursing home there in Maxton, North Carolina, which is an Indian, in Pembroke, and they'll take them senior citizens and they'll buy them what they can buy them with that little money. And they go up and down the halls, and I love it, Miss Kathy. Boy, you ought to see them. Them little Indian kids, they got them little pretty clothes on. And they'll go buy a rose, or they'll buy a flower, and they'll give it to them elderly people, and them elderly people would just squeeze them little Indian kids up. Ain't that a blessing? Sure, I'd rather watch them little Indian kids do that as anything more. I have a spell. In fact, I just give them everything I got. I love to watch them do that. I know what they're doing with it. Watch this. Now go back, look in your Bible. If God can't trust you with a little, how do you think he can ever trust you with a whole lot? Have you ever thought about that? Now watch this. Look in your Bible. The repository. Look in the Bible. I don't believe it. I believe this with all my heart. Let everyone you lay by him, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now watch it. Verse 1, he says that I've given order to the churches. Did y'all get that? What should we do? We should work through and by the local church. Amen. Boy, y'all are pitiful in the amens. We should. We should work through and by the local church. Everything we do, he purchased with his own blood. So we find the reason he gave is verse 1, the regularity of giving is verse 2. And then the repository, I believe, is the local church. Don't bypass that. The requirement, how much should I give? I've heard people say that all my life. How much should I give? It says, as God has prospered you. That'll blow you out of the saddle, won't it? Oh, that's going to really get quiet. Well, now, preacher, I think we ought to give a tithe. I understand that God, I understand Abraham gave tithe long, I understand that, I understand he gave it to Melchizedek, so don't start that stuff. I understand that, don't start that stuff about law and grace, I understand that. But it says, as God has prospered him. If you take inventory, I'll guarantee you what you give God, as God's prospered me, is far more than the tithe. Ho-ho! Didn't hear amen one, just maybe one or two. Did you know that? Well, everybody says, well, I'm going to give a tithe. I believe the tithe is a good starting place. Thanks, brother. It's a good starting place. I told him, I love my preacher. Oh, I love my preacher Noah. I told him the other day, I said, man, you don't care if I come or go as long as I send my tithe and offerings. He said, you're right. I said, I'm going to take mine out in Cracker Barrel. Every time I go to Cracker Barrel, I make him pay. I do. I told him, I said, flip out one of them cards you got there. I know you got one. Pay for our breakfast. You really believe that, don't you? He won't let me pay the dog. But I sure love my preacher. My point is watch this. Did you get it where it says this God has prospered him? Did y'all see that? Have y'all seen that? As God has prospered him. As God has prospered him. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it is the Lord that giveth thee or letteth thee, giveth thee wealth? I know what's going through your mind. Well, it's my ingenuity, it's my brains, and I built this company, and I built this, and I did that, and I did this. That's the problem, that personal pronoun, I. Did you know you could be a vegetable before you draw another breath? I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. Amen, sister. You know, our day and time, we're self-sufficient. If I ever pastor another church, I'm going to call it Dependent Baptist. Because we're so independent, dear God, we're not even dependent. Watch this, go back, look at it. It says this, God has prospered him. There's a man by the name of Colgate, which we all use a lot of times, Colgate toothpaste. Did you know that he gave 90% of everything that he ever owned to the Lord? Did you know the name of a man by the name of Kraft? Did you know he gave 90% of his living? And he lived on the 10%. Boy, that blows people's circuit board. I can go on and on. Hey, watch this. Go back, look at your Bible. Notice, if you would, in your Bible. Now, watch this. He says that we're to leave a corner. I can do that. I've purposed in my life, Brother Earl, that I can leave a corner. Does everybody get what I'm saying? I can leave a legacy. Hey, Brother Noble. I had rather die, Brother Tom. I had rather die as my grandkids fall by my coffin and say, my grandpa used to preach. My grandpa used to. I'd rather die. I'd rather feel a premature grave than to hear them say, my grandpa used to. You'll get that in a minute. What do you mean by that, Brother Sisson? I can leave a legacy for my grandkids. Grandpa purposed in his heart that he could just leave a corner. Sometimes I believe by our faithfulness we can leave a corner. By our kindness we can leave a corner. And, you know, I'm not going to call her name, but there's a little girl that's in y'all's, I don't know if she's a high schooler or seventh grade, what is it? But I've noticed her. She's nothing like the other group. You probably know who I'm talking about. She's totally different than the other group. She's very withdrawn. And so I've been trying to pick at her, trying to get her to get out of that shell. And I look at that little girl, and here's what I think. She needs somebody to leave a corner for her. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 19, he says, God says, you shall leave a corner. This is Wednesday night. How many of you tonight would say, Brother Sisson, boy, I sure would love to leave a corner. Just a corner. I want us to stand, bow our heads, and close our eyes. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Brother Larry's going to come. Pianists are going to come. How many of you tonight would slip out of your seat and come and just say, God, I can be faithful. God, I can leave a corner for my kids. I can leave a corner for my grandkids. I can leave a corner for my neighbors. I can do more than what I've been doing. Come on, would you come tonight, please? God bless you, Brother Bradley. Bless your heart. The devil will come to you and he'll whisper in your ear. He'll say, what you're doing is not amounting to anything. But we can leave a corner. Just leave a corner. Miss Vicki, her being the secretary, I think. Whoever does the cleaning, I always notice the building, how clean it is. God bless you. You know what you're doing? You're just leaving a corner. Nobody's looking in the building. Would you be honest with me tonight? And you'd say, Brother Simpson, I want to do more. Would you be honest? Would you slip your hand up real high? Man, I've got mine raised. I want to do more. I sure would want God to be pleased with my life when it's all over. God bless you, sweetheart. We can leave a corner. Lord Jesus, when I think what you did on the cross for us, and I think when you cried, it's finished, and you made a way for sinful man to approach a holy God. Lord, when I realize and understand what all you did for us and how little I do for you, Lord, I sure would like for you to be pleased with my life when it's all over. Lord, I pray you'd bless Brother Lawrence and these people. God, all these years they've been so faithful. Lord, they put their hands to the plow and they've not looked back. Lord, I pray tonight would you help us, Lord, to get determined just to leave a corner. Lord, if there ever was a time that our children and grandchildren and, Lord, people need to see kindness and thoughtfulness and faithfulness, Lord, it's in the hour which we live. Would you please help us to be more thoughtful? Would you help us to be more appreciative? Lord, those that raised their hand that they wanted to do more, working with your hands to give to him that needeth. Lord, please bring this to my mind and to people's minds. Lord, the next time we complain and next time we find fault, help us, Lord. Lord, that young girl, Lord, I see her in my mind. And I think about she probably thinks nobody doesn't love her. Nobody don't really care. Please, God, help us tonight, Lord. Sweep over this auditorium. Purpose in their hearts that we all can just leave a corner. I pray in your son's name and for his sake. Amen.